I walked all the way here, so I might need a ride at the end. I thank you all for being here. It's great to see you. We're getting close to Pentecost, and we keep hearing more and more about the Holy Spirit showing up in the gospel. So he's telling us, he's giving us hints that he's coming soon. Today we hear in the first reading in the Acts of the Apostles the conflict happening over 2,000 years later, still happening in the church. Nothing new. They had their own conflict. The problem was that those who were the Judeo-Christians, converted the pagans who were joining our church, and that they were concerned with the Judeo, very strict Christians, about the circumcision laws. So there you have the debate and the conflict, and then we hear the apostles have to intervene, and then they go all the way to Peter and the other apostles to decide what needs to be done. And I think this is beautiful to read because, again, the conflict was there, and the conflict still today. But as we continue to see these problems in the church, we must ask ourselves as baptized Christians, as followers of Christ, am I part of the problem or am I part of the solution? What is it that I'm doing to fix the problem? Am I just complaining? Am I just pointing out the different issues that the church has? Or am I standing up? Am I speaking up for the truth, defending life, defending the doctrines of the church, contributing to the salvation of souls? As a priest, I oftentimes hear from both Catholics and non-Catholics, and oftentimes, sadly, from Catholics. They say, Father, the church has way too many rules, way too many laws. And what I tell them is that, well, the laws are there to help us get to heaven, to govern the church, the body of Christ. Someone once said, there's no society without laws. We see the laws in the primitive church back in the day. We see the laws here. But again, those laws are to help us to get to heaven. Let me ask you, what is the supreme law of the land? Anybody? What is the supreme law of the land of the United States? The Constitution. You guys kind of not sure about that, but it is the Constitution. What is the supreme law of the church? The supreme law of the church is the salvation of souls. And we can find this in Canon 752. We have what we call the Code of Canon Law, the ecclesiastical laws to govern the church. God is a God of order, and he creates rules, laws, so that we can keep ourselves in that order. So we are ordered to heaven so that we can get to heaven. So when people tell me, why do you have so many laws? I say, well, not really. We only have five. What we call the precepts of the church, and I'm sure all of you know, so I'm not going to ask you. The precepts of the church, the laws to govern us, and there are only five. You might be thinking, no, there's 10 commandments. That's not the law of the church. That's the law of God. That's the commandment of God, the commandments of God. But the precepts of the church is something that the church established to help us to remain in that order so that we can get to heaven. And you can find this in the Catechism number 2041. The first precept of the church, to attend Mass on Sundays and on holy days of obligation. And you are doing it right now. This is the vigil mass, counts for Sunday mass, so you're fulfilling this obligation. And notice we say obligation. No one can make you to be here. I'm not willing or really desiring to force anybody to be here. But the church says obligation because we have the right and the obligation to get to heaven. Because Jesus died on the cross to bring us to himself. And he's not playing any games. So the church mother, our mother, Holy Mother Church, says it is an obligation, just as it is a blessing. It is an obligation. You must get to heaven. So the number one rule is to get to Mass, at least on Sundays and on days of obligation. The second precept, to go to confession at least once a year. But let us not do the minimum. Again, Jesus died on the cross to give us all the graces we need to be in heaven with him for all eternity. Holy Mother Church says at least once a year, but at least I can humble myself and go to confession, I would say 3 or 4 times a year. Father, but I didn't do anything bad. Good, but go tell the priest that about the good that you didn't do that you were supposed to be doing. That's a sin as well. I go to confession, as a priest, my spiritual director tells me, you gotta go to confession at least every two weeks. So I go to confession every 2 weeks. It's good for the grace, and I am the, in persona Christi, I'm giving you the grace. So it's beautiful to go to confession. So the second thing is to go to confession at least once a year. That's what our mother recommends. But let us do it more often. The confession is right there. The third precept of the church, to receive Jesus in the most holy sacrament, to receive Holy Communion at least once a year. But again, if you go to Mass 3 times a week, and if you're able to go to confession, if you can receive communion, go to communion. We need that grace so that we can remain ordered to do God's will. The fourth precept of the church, to observe the days of fasting and penance. And we know what that means, especially in Lent. And the fifth one is to contribute to the church's material needs, tithing, and according to your own ability. Some people can give 10, other people can give more, to return back to God the many blessings that he's given us. Elsewhere in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, I think you have the Catechism in the pews, correct? Was that in Old St. Mary's? St. Mary's, okay, you know where Old St. Mary's is if you need one. So in the Catechism elsewhere, it lists 7 precepts of the church: to attend Mass on Sundays and on holy days of obligation, to go to confession at least once a year during the Easter season, to receive Jesus in the Most Holy Eucharist, to contribute to the support of the church, and to observe the days of fasting and penance. But elsewhere, it lists 2 more. The 6th one, it says, to obey the laws concerning holy matrimony. And I will say, yes, especially in this time. We need to defend this beautiful sacrament. We need to pray for faithful men and women, for fidelity. And the 7th precept that it lists again elsewhere in the Catechism is to participate in the church's mission of evangelization. In other words, to take part in the missionary life of the church. As you and I have been baptized, we're called to spread the good news of the gospel out there. My dear friends in Christ, we see conflict in the church since the very beginning. We will continue to see this conflict happening. But it is your obligation and my obligation as baptized sons and daughters of God to make a difference, to tell people about our faith. At the end of the catechism, where it lists the precepts, it says that the precepts are meant to guarantee to the faithful the indispensable minimum in the spirit of prayer and moral effort and the growth in love and God, of God and neighbor. So the precepts are just to do the minimum. Only 5 laws here. But the goal is the salvation of souls. This is why we have these precepts. This is why we have these laws, these governing policies and regulations, because we want all to go to heaven. And as we are here, let us pray for the whole church. Let us pray for Pope Francis, our bishops, priests, for all of us. so that we may continue to be guided by the Holy Spirit to do whatever He's asking us to do. And whatever we see conflict, that we may ask Him to help us so that we may be instruments of unity and peace, that we may bring Christ in the midst of division in whatever areas He needs to be brought in. Amen. Please stand. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty.